Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. There's a lot going on at universities in this country and, as you know, in the United States. A lawsuit has been launched by a student at TMU. $1.3 million in damages claimed, arguing the university has become a poisoned, anti-Semitic learning and working environment. Toronto law firm Diamond and Diamond filed class action lawsuits against TMU, lawsuit against Queen's University and York Universities in Ontario, and the University of British Columbia. Now, these lawsuits were filed in November of last year, and anti-Semitism certainly not becoming less. So let's talk with the founding partner of Diamond and Diamond about the lawsuits and about the issue of anti-Semitism and how that's playing into our university campuses and how this lawsuit is moving forward. Sandra Ziskind is the founding partner of Diamond Diamond. Ms. Ziskind, thank you very much for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
That's good to talk to you. Have you been hearing from a great number of students at various universities? You've got the lawsuits in active against four of them, but are you hearing from students of other universities as well?
Yes, we've also filed against McMaster, and we're planning to file against more universities as the time is going on. As you said quite astutely in the beginning, we are not seeing a decline, but rather an uprising of hate and hateful speech, and these universities will be held accountable.
So is that the common denominator, hateful speech, or does it cross over into violence?
It crosses over to violence. It's hateful speech. What's worse is the perpetuation of the myths and the anti-Semitism by the staff, which is completely beyond the pale, and that is being tolerated by all the universities. So, again, to be clear, you're allowed to criticize the Israeli government and the policies of the Israeli government. It's a democratic country. You can criticize its leaders. What you cannot do is call for the destruction of Jews. And that's a very, in my mind, clear line and something that is not difficult for the universities to enforce.
So we've heard that on this program from Jewish students at universities in Canada, that professors have been openly arguing against Israel. I won't go as far as saying disappearance of Israel and genocide against Jews, because I'd have to go back and listen to what the students said. But I know they were very concerned about what professors did say during lectures, and you're hearing that as well, right?
We've had professors justifying the October 7th attacks. We've had professors saying words such as intifada, which is basically calling for the destruction of Jews. And we hear the chants of the river to the sea. There's only so much the Jewish students should be tolerated, will have to tolerate. Again, if there was any other religion or race, and you can imagine if we flip the lid and then say, can you imagine a world where we're saying Asian Americans should die? How quickly those students would be expelled, how quickly those professors would be fired. Yet somehow when it's Judaism and it's cloaked in anti-Zionism, we're allowed to continue to perpetuate this anti-Semitism and this ranting. And it's just, and as we see what's happening in Columbia and NYU and all these universities in the South, mm-hmm. the brainwashing that's going on and that's being perpetuated by so-called intellectuals is shocking beyond belief.
What are you hearing back, Ms. Ziskind? You filed the class action lawsuits in November against the four specific universities. What are you hearing back from either the administrations or their lawyers?
Nothing right now. We're still in the beginning phases. And as you know, these things move very, very slowly, unfortunately. However, if things continue to go the way they are or go by way of the universities in the States, we might have to file emergency injunctions, which my counterparts have done in Montreal. So there is a precedent for it now. But can you imagine that this is the state of affairs right now at higher institutions?
No, I can't. No, I can't.
It's become, and by the way, York University, which is the first one I followed, that's my alma mater. And I cannot believe now I'm suing them.
No, I can't believe it. I was talking to somebody earlier this morning, in fact. We were talking about something that's coming up on the program this weekend, and we both said it almost simultaneously. How could we ever have expected to see this kind of virulent anti-Semitism arise in our society? And if we look at the universities, if we're specifically looking at the universities, and that's where your lawsuits are aimed, then the responsibility ultimately, and I'm not a lawyer, but I have a fair bit of common sense, I think, the responsibility lies with the administration. And if the administration does nothing about it, then the administration had better be ready to have to deal with that. What does the law allow, by the way?
I couldn't agree with you more. No, you hit the nail on the head. It's exactly correct. Not only is the administration responsible, the administration is responsible for hiring known anti-Semitic professors that spew this sort of nonsense. They know it before, or they're completely dumb and don't vet these people don't hide it.
Do you have proof that the universities have knowingly hired anti-Semites?
Yes. York University hired and then fired a Holocaust denier at York University. This is pre-October 7th. They hired a Holocaust denier to teach at York University. So either they are not vetting these people properly, because it's not difficult to find out, or they don't care, or they're furthering some sort of agenda. And that makes me even more concerned, because how in God's name does somebody get a university professor position when you were a Holocaust denier?
Well, shouldn't happen. I mean, that's as clear as day and night is night. How long will it take for these cases? And I know you talked about emergency injunctions.
I'm hoping that York University will proceed to a certification motion within the first year. Once we're certified, we're pretty much along the road. And I think once we're certified with one, the rest will fall into place. That's my hope, that one will proceed the next. So I'm hoping within a year we'll see some progress, and we'll get some good rulings from the court. And in the interim, I just hope that all of the Jewish students and professors can feel safe on campus, knowing that we're trying to make the university uphold their own code of conduct. It's insane that I have to do it, but somebody has to hold them accountable. And to be clear, this is not about the money. I don't care about the money. The students don't care about the money. But students should be able to go to university in Canada without worrying that they're going to be attacked.
Yeah. You think, huh? I mean, it's inconceivable. Should be. It's not inconceivable because we've seen it, but it should be inconceivable that this could happen in this country. Ms. Siskin, thank you very much. Good talking to you. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.